Lastly, and certainly not briefly, I'd like to introduce Simon Blackwood and his charming assistant. Simon is an artist and, I'm told, an exceptional cook. He lives and works in the Scottish Borders. His paintings, which depict landscapes, seascapes, and figures, are often described as expressive images filled with optimism, and they have been exhibited widely across the UK and in Turkey, and I'm sure many other places. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you. First line from John Keats' poem, Endymion. A thing of beauty, its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness. But what is beauty, and what joy is derived from it? We frequently pass from one ephemeral object of desire to another. Happiness is fleeting. In Buddhism, they talk of the five hindrances to enlightenment: sensual desire, ill will, torpor, restlessness, and skeptical doubt. In the modern Western world, we become slaves to all five, and yet we are wealthy, educated, well-fed, have access to many health provisions, and have fewer fundamental worries than most. Once a true object of beauty is tasted, there is no substitute. There can be no other route to happiness. All else is mediocre. But it has to be recognised, and we may not be looking for it, as we are sceptical and bound to a quest for more at the expense of better and what is enough for us. Happiness is not necessarily to do with acquisition or what makes the enduring object of desire beautiful? It may be that it has an intrinsic quality, something that is instantly in accord with our own nature, also beyond our imagination, that we have to learn to recognize, perhaps be in the right state to be even aware of. We want to be happy, we yearn for it, as if it is our natural condition. If beauty makes us happy, if it satisfies us completely, not just for sensual pleasure or feeling of security, but more fundamentally, then obviously and perhaps easier to recognise with less baggage. Beauty makes us happy if we're able to recognise it. A delicious meal, enhanced with care of presentation, sets the benchmark for our future aspirations. As simple as a fresh tomato at the height of the season, accompanied by a herb like basil from the garden or window box. Once tasted, there is no substitute. So, naturally, instinctively, we want more of it, desire more of it, or we want it to endure for longer. It's not necessarily more that we need, but a keen sense of the best, an intelligent aspiration to repeat the experience. Appreciation of its uniqueness starts here. Or do we want everyone to see it, taste it, feel it, as many as possible, without recompense, to be happy? There is enough for all. We can make it happen. Everything, everyone, is interdependent. We take for granted the food we buy, the produce available to us, but it all happens because someone else is actually making it happen. Somewhere else, out of sight, out of mind. Every implement we use has been designed and made somewhere by somebody. Appreciation and reciprocity without usury may be the answer, may be the key. The man or woman top right may be the farmer growing the asparagus bought by the man or woman bottom left. If she, he is taken out of the equation, someone else will step in unnoticed. The equation of beauty equals joy extends into the farthest reaches of our universe. The awesome beauty of the unfathomable, where? Echoed in the arts and sciences. Ad infinitum, the stumbling block of many sciences, but the reality we are aware of, yet afraid of, when studying the universe as we are part of. Infinity, unity, absolute, are difficult concepts in the world of relativity, but they have been encompassed by freethinkers for thousands of years. We make formulae to contain the concepts, and the aftermath is religion. Statistical studies have a similar result. their relevance fades with time, as sometimes the power of the origins of the search for answers become lost in dogma. People have forever created images, ideals of beauty and awe, and represented them as stories, illuminating our daily lives of chopping wood and carrying water, raising us to the level of sentient beings capable of aspiring above self-centered desire and the trough. Communicating ideas of perfection, ethical values, the ways of happiness and knowledge of the self, while wealth, politics, commanded the masses, yet those living a simple life of adoration of beauty gave us an exquisite legacy far beyond their patron's purpose. A dramatic transition happened in art, or was it? Secular philosophy created little in the way of alternative ambition. Some sciences moved more towards new atheism based simply upon their lack of understanding of fiction and the need for storytelling, and least of all, what it signifies to us mere mortals. Is it really that radical? Art took on hedonism. Replacing objective beauty and then started looking in on itself, almost in admiration, based upon the idea that it is a reflection of society. All the while it was moving further away from aesthetics and closer to depressing nihilism. Destruction of the myth without understanding the meaning just because you can. GM crops, etc. Art began reflecting the ugliness of our times, not without cause, with a hope and maybe an awakening to the need for balance, a new optimism. It may be difficult for some to see, but Bacon's triptych is executed with great care and with a love of 3D space for pigmentation. Prices for original paintings by certain artists began to reach staggering price hikes in the 90s due to the Japanese economic bubble. Now this painting by Van Gogh, who only ever sold any of his work to his brother during his lifetime, sold for an absurd £128 million, and is currently being reproduced in China for £220, while the original probably still sits in a vault since the famous 1990s purchase, only to be seen by a very select few until it reappears in auction again at a high price. This computer game from Rockstar North reached 1 billion sales within 3 days of release on September 17, 2013. It cost £49 a shot. And with new technologies, we have adapted and are able to absorb and interpret images almost carelessly. And what was held as beautiful is, in an instant, sacrificed for another object. Art becomes bland, mediocre, without the beautiful idea. Information overwhelms, in such volume, without a focal point, a free-for-all, unmemorable, except perhaps to another machine. The objective beauty of Keats is still there. Maybe we now have to look harder, be more resolute, find the still centre in ourselves, and adapt our search for beauty through the minefield of mediocrity and ephemeral desires, maybe just as our ancestors did. Beauty and joy are intertwined and always essentially unique. This uniqueness may appear in multifarious forms, as beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If what we find is real, it will show us that hedonism must be abandoned for a more altruistic path to learning. To learning where we stand under knowledge of the beautiful and embrace all human beings as if they were the same as us. We are each only here once. We don't need more. We need better. For the mother who gave us birth, and for the mother that provides all we will ever want or need. That mother who gave birth to all of us, whether we are the sons of God or the sons of man. The mother is joyful. She is the source of beauty. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness, but still will keep a bower quiet for us, and sweet, full of sweet dreams and health and quiet breathing. Therefore, on every morrow, we are wreathing a flowery band to bind us to the earth, spite of despondence of human, inhuman dearth of noble natures of the gloomy days, of all the unhealthy and o'er the darkened ways made for our searching. Yes, in spite of all, some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits, such the sun, the moon, trees, old and young, sprouting a shady boon for simple sheep. And such are daffodils with the green world they live in, and clear rills that for themselves a cooling covert make. It's the hot season. The mid-forest brake, rich with a sprinkling of fair musk rose blooms, and such too is the grandeur of the dunes we have imagined for the mighty dead, a lovely tales that we have heard or read, an endless fountain of immortal drink, pouring us onto us from heaven's brink.
Thanks very much, Simon.